marriage, I didn't look at life very seriously. In fact, regrettably, as a teenager, I lived a quite reckless life, very reckless at times. And didn't give much thought to what life is and what it's all about. But that all changed when God got a hold of my life. When God came into my life and gave me a new heart, with that new heart came a new set of eyes and a different perspective of life as well. I began to look at life totally differently. It wasn't just not taking much thought to life or living recklessly, but I began to see life as a very serious matter indeed. And that we're going through life only one time and then eternity. Life took on a whole new perspective and a different outlook. And it was wonderful. Found the answers to life or why we're here and so forth. Or so I thought I did. And I did as far as salvation and the Lord Jesus Christ coming into my life. But that's been 30-some years ago, and a lot of things have happened. I think I've learned a few things along the way. Hope so. And as someone said this morning in our Sunday school, that we're going to learn as long as life is a learning experience and so forth. But I don't know what you think of when you think of life this morning. If you're a young person, if you're not converted, you probably haven't thought very seriously. But I would encourage you to do so, because life is short and life is brief. But even as a young person and as life continues on, life is life. I don't know. It'd be interesting to hear what everyone, how you look at life. But for me this morning, when life changed for me, I looked at life, I could sum it up this way. I looked at life as a journey. Life was no longer just a reckless experience or just a life of chance or just things just happen. But I felt like God called me on a journey. I would like for us to think of life as that this morning. Life is a journey. For some of us, it's more of a journey. There's more days. The journey is longer. Others, the journey is very short. That's not the most important thing. It's what we do on our journey and what happens and the decisions we make and the choices we make. I mentioned that I thought life, I'd found the answers and so forth. And we do. Jesus Christ is the answer to our needs. But life is also very real. Life is a journey, and life is a testing ground. Life tests us. God, in His graciousness, He also brings tests in our life. And so I would like to think of the message this morning. If I had a title for it, I would call it Grace for the Journey. And the main point of the message, at least I intend it to be that, is that there is grace for the journey. Because when I looked at life as a journey, We have our way of doing things, planning things, mapping things out, deciding what we want to do, and we think we know the outcome, and we'll do this and this and thus and thus, and then the result will be this and this and thus and thus. We can do that to a degree. We do that in our natural work and so forth a lot, but it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work that way in our spiritual journey. And our spiritual journey involves all of life as well. It involves our work and everything. We can't really separate it, or we should not separate it. God is wants to be with us in every aspect and everything that we do in life. God wants to be deeply involved and needs to be the our guide and so forth. So, I think for Christians, life is often likened to a journey. But as a Christian, I think we need to think about life as my journey with God. You think about your life as my journey with God, whether you're a young person, older, or whatever, wherever you're at in life, that my life is a journey with God. And probably, especially us older ones, most likely I expect that that our journey has turned out different than from what we expected. It often does. Our journey often turns out quite different from what we expected or what we had anticipated. I think I've said already that one thought I had when I found the Lord and turned my life over to God, that I somewhat thought that my troubles were over, that this was going to be the utopia. I had found the answer. I still maintain today that I found the answer. Were my troubles over? Well, I don't think we necessarily need to go there, other than just say that, you know, we carry our humanity with us all our life, and we have issues to deal with. But we also have a God that dwells within us that is there with us every step of the way if we invite him and we want him to be that way. One thing you can expect in your journey of life is that the unknown future lies ahead, and you really don't know. You really don't know what all that's going to include, what all is going to be in there for it. But one thing that we are told in the Scripture, and we're assured that the grace of God will be with us. God will be with us every step of the way. And also, we're not to worry. We're not to be fearful. I really appreciated the tenor of our service thus far, and there was many things. The whole service, I felt that was a good, an excellent prelude. Many things were a good prelude to continuing on with the Word of God. The one thing that is of extreme importance as we journey, and our journey is with God, is that we remember and we keep in mind that God is faithful. It's one thing to come to the Lord and, you know, experience the new birth and have our life turned around and redirected and begin a journey with God. But that's when the real test and that's when the real journeys begin. That's when we're really tested. But as we journey, it is extremely crucial, imperative, essential, indispensable, put in there a number of our English words, that we keep in mind God is a faithful God. Those of you that are here in this congregation have heard me. I think you've heard me a number of times to quote 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9, one of my favorite verses is, God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That verse has been a sustaining verse for me many times and continues to be so. We have nothing else to hold on to in life. When everything else seems to go to pieces and everything else seems to be falling apart, even in your Christian life, God is faithful. Society around us is crumbling. We know it is in many, many ways, the morality and the chaos and so forth. But God is faithful. God is faithful. It is so important that we keep that foremost in our heart and our mind as we journey. God is faithful. If you lose sight of the faithfulness of God, it's going to be very difficult, because as you face the issues of life and you face things and adversity and so forth, many people today question, where is God? Where was God? Where was God when the Twin Towers and all the calamities and the disasters and the natural disasters? Where was God? Where is God? He is where he always was. The verse in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations, wow. According to history and the scriptures, the earth has been, 6,000 years approximately, maybe a little over. If you take 30 years for generations, that's only a little over 200 generations. And the scripture here says he's faithful to 1,000 generations. And I'm sure it would be 2,000 generations, whatever. But God's faithfulness is not nearly exhausted yet, if you're going to look at it from a generational standpoint. All right, I'd like to think about some of the practical aspects, the realities of the journey. As God takes us on our journey, we meet obstacles, we meet situations, we meet things in life we really hadn't thought about it, or we hadn't planned for. We have the wheres, the whats, the whys of life. Things not planned for, things not our choosing, the unexpected things of life. What are you going to do with those things? How is it going to affect you? What obviously it does, in our case, in my case, it's often reshaped or rerouted my journey. And I expect it will continue to be that way. It's very important that we just place ourselves in the Lord's hand when our journey takes an expected turn that we hadn't expected. That we can resist, we can rebel. It's not going to change things. Often it's not going to change things. We make it difficult for ourselves. That's again where faith plays in part. God is faithful. We have to come back to the fact that God is faithful. I have this happen, this comes up, and that comes up, and, you know, at times totally unprepared for it. What are you going to do? Go back to the fact that God is faithful. God will be with us. God has never let his people down. In Jeremiah chapter 29, we have a verse there that I think about, thought about in life a number of times. I think it's a good verse to think about. Now, I know this was to the captives of Babylon after Nebuchadnezzar had carried him away captivity. But it shows us the characteristic. It shows us the heart of God and what God's desire is, I believe, to his created beings. The NIV gives it this way, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God always has my good and your good in mind, the good of humanity. When there's no more remedy, there's nothing left but the Sodom and Gomorrahs, like we had in our Sunday school this morning, the destruction of that. But God always has our good in mind. But it's just like the songwriter says, it's only because of our earth-thin vision, the truth we never clearly can know. But God's way is always best. God's way is perfect. I often thought of that verse in the last couple of years with my journey and my own health issues, that as for God, His way is perfect. God has plans for every one of us. He has our journey mapped out and routed out that He wants us to walk on. Now, unfortunately, we can choose to deviate from that route. In the day of grace, God will not force us. Certainly not always. He will not force us on the path that He has for us. But when we neglect that or reject that, turn away from that, we make it difficult. The way of the transgressor is hard, the scripture says. It is. It's a hard road, the way of the transgressor. In contrast, we talked about it, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Compare the two roads. Romans 8, verse 28, that familiar verse that we quote. I think we latch on to it. Maybe too easy, and maybe don't think about the implications of that verse. Think about it very deeply at times. It's so familiar. It's that verse that says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I think maybe our mindset is more like something like this, if we would paraphrase it a little bit. And we know that all things will be good for those who love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. That's not what it says. It says all things work out for good. We struggle with that, don't we? Our humanity, we struggle with that. I do at times. Have in the past, I suppose we'll continue to struggle. I believe, and I certainly open for correction, I think it's okay to struggle. But struggle is not rebellion. When we rebel against God, it's sin, it's wrong. You mean you're a human being here and you have walked your journey for a number of years? If you're an older person, you have never struggled about anything? Never struggled? I'd like to know about it. I'd like to know what your secret is or whatever. Our humanity struggles. But it's when we come back into the fact that God is faithful, that all things work together for good. We'll explain it. I can't explain it. There's things that I can't explain. I cannot explain to you what good God has in mind for this. But I, by faith in God, we hold on to that. We have nothing else to hold on to. To take our own way and to reject and to resist and to rebel against the journey or what our journey consists of, we only make it difficult for ourselves. I have several quotes here that I'd like to share. Some of them I've paraphrased a little bit, but quotes that I picked up in regards to life and its journey. One is, the journey through life is important. I emphasize that our journey in life is very important, isn't it? But what we learn during our journey is even more important. We learn from God as we just place our life and our journey and our steps into God's hands. We learn. It's important that we learn something from our journey. The hard things in life are really what teaches us about God and about the things of God and where we can benefit from God. Here's another one. God in His divine wisdom is able to position our lives as pieces in a chess game. I don't know, you chess lovers can probably connect with that. But you know, God is the master chess player, if you please. And He can place those pieces, and He does place those pieces where He wants them. Here's another one. If we never experience the chill of a dark winter, it is very unlikely that we will ever cherish the warmth of summer. We don't think about that, do we? But compare that to life. If you never experience dark valleys in life, you're not going to appreciate the mountaintops as much. The experiences when things go well. It is for our good. If we want life's journey to be successful, it is vital that we turn every dark tear into a pearl of wisdom. I like that. I think it's important that we do that. Our tears are not unnoticed by God, and they can turn into pearls of wisdom as we just place our life and our situation, our circumstances into God's hand. Another one is difficult journeys often lead to beautiful destinations. You think about that. Difficult times in life, when we respond rightly to them, difficult journeys often have beautiful destinations. If they're journeyed with divine grace. I don't think I mentioned when I mentioned the title, but when I say grace for the journey, I'm thinking of divine grace, meaning divine grace, divine favor with God. Divine favor for the journey. You think about the beauty of a journey that's taken, that's very difficult, and the destinations and the rewards that God has for those who are faithful. And we could turn to a number of accounts in the scripture. I think if you let your mind work, you can think of accounts. Men and women that had difficult journeys, but especially we highlight people like Joseph and others as well, and how God rewarded them for their faithfulness. Our journey in life is by divine design and is meant to be fruitful. I'd like for us to notice the scripture here in John 15. God has designed and engineered our journey in life. I am convinced of that. I struggle with how much of my own ways I bring into that and have brought into that. And I know I have in the past, but a desire to do none of that and certainly less and less of that as my journey continues. But here in John 15, just notice in a couple of verses, this is the parable of the vine and the branches. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I look at those verses, and I think about life, and I think about our journey in life. I think about my journey in life. We sing the song that I am the vine and ye are the branches. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And as I think of my own life and my journey in life, and I'd like for you to do that about your own life. Notice it says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he taketh away. You think about the unfruitful branches that we have often attached to our life. And God takes them away. if we really are after His will for our life. I think of my own life, I think about the many branches that needed to be taken away over the years, and probably there'll be more that need to be taken away. But it's painful, isn't it? Unfruitful branches, unfruitful areas in our life. There's much, often much. Let's just be humble and honest about our life. There's often much that needs to be taken away, isn't it? What kind of a human are you, if not? We need to have those areas pruned and taken away. Now we can resist. But God wants to take those unfruitful areas out of our life. Allow God to do that. Painful as it may be, there's some of life's greatest blessings are when we just simply allow God to do that. But that's not the end. As we read on here, it says in every branch, you know, there's one thing to take away those unfruitful branches. But notice what it says here. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. That's a little different, isn't it? You know, it's okay to cut those unfruitful areas out, but what about the areas that we think, well, we're doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good. And God lays his hands in those areas and he prunes that some more. Fine-tunes those areas even some more. That's difficult, isn't it? We think we're already being fruitful. According to what Jesus said here, obviously, even our fruitful areas in life need purging, could stand just a little more refining, a little more pruning. And I give that to us this morning as we journey. Let's realize that we're probably not, even though we may feel there's surely some areas that we've got some pretty good branches that are bearing fruit. But Jesus said even those areas, he purges that it may bring forth more fruit. And I don't know what all that might mean in my life or your life. But what I am saying is, listen to God. Allow God to prune and to use to do that. You know, there may be times that, I believe I may say this, you know, there's times you might feel like the pruning of God in my life has really left nothing there. It's just nothing there. Only to experience more pruning. That's really hard. When we lived in Kentucky, we lived not too far from a vineyard along the Ohio River there. It was a beautiful vineyard, well kept. And it was a very productive vineyard. But I noticed different times as we, over the years, when we'd go by there, especially the time of the year when they pruned that vineyard. And you'd see them maybe in the summer month, they look at beautiful grapes on, but when the time of the year came, they pruned them. You'd go by there and looked like there was nothing there but a stub. I mean, you'd think, how can they survive? How can anything gonna come out of them? But the next summer, they were beautiful. Someone knew what they were doing. We don't question that God knows what he's doing, do we, in our life? We probably struggle with that sometimes. We at least wonder why. We have questions why. Life turns out very different. I thought of several young couples that I remember when they got married. The one couple just 2-3 years later, the wife and two small children stood by the casket of her husband. The other one was 6-7 years later, a young widow with 4 children stood by the casket of her husband. The journey in life, divine grace for the journey. None of them, I'm pretty sure, on their wedding day didn't anticipate or didn't expect that on their journey. We don't. But one thing we need to think about and we can be assured on, and our journey in life is not always going to be like it is this morning, sitting here together. Death is going to take us one way or the other. And that's one of the more Maybe it's the most crucial area of our life when we get really tested where we're at and where our faith is, what we have. We could ask the question, and we do at times, what, you know, we have questions about these things and why our journey is as it is and why it takes a certain turn. And I suppose it's okay to have some questions to a degree at least, as long as they don't consume us and we keep them within the proper framework. Again in life, we just need to get to the place where we just place our questions into the hands of Him that has the answers. There's no better place to put them. We can share, we can try to bear each other's burdens and so forth, but there comes a time when we just have to place those questions into the hands of Him that has the answer. And again, as we think back to the fact and keep in mind that God is faithful and that His way is perfect, and He's with us on our journey. He has our good in mind. It is for my good. It is for your good. God has worked for us in His kingdom. And if this is the best way that God can use us, then let's allow Him to use us, whether it be in a difficult situation or whatever it may be. God's purpose through redemption is to have a family of believers that are conformed to the image of His dear Son. I believe that's what God has in mind. He wants to conform us to the image of His dear Son, our Lord and Savior. You think about that when that pruning takes place and when those times in life when our journey is as it is, whether you want to call it pruning, chastening, whatever you want to call it, God's purpose is to conform us to the image of His dear Son. And there are scriptures we could turn to confirm that. There was once this stonemason that was chipping and chiseling away at a stone. And a certain observer, as he observed him chipping and chiseling away at that stone, asked him what he was doing. And the stonemason pointed to a hole in the wall he had, in the wall that he was laying, the stone wall there. He said, "I am shaping him to fit up yonder." I like that illustration. I think that's precisely what God needs to do to us at times. And probably all of us, as we journey, will probably all need a few more chippings and chiselings to fit us in for the place up yonder. Probably all needed, as it were. But let's remember, it's in the hands of the master pruner at work. It's a great opportunity to glorify God and to testify of His grace when we are pruned, when we're going through times of pruning. However, we all know it's the most difficult time often to do that. To really give God the glory. To really glorify God. When you don't feel like it. When your flesh cries out and pulls the opposite direction. When the journey is difficult. A couple of things I thought about. I thought back to my grandfather's funeral back in 1973 at Weavertown. I remember when the minister there that had the message talking to the family about God's all-sufficient grace along that line, and he shared an incident. I may have shared it here before, I don't know. I'll share it again. But he mentioned about their place of business that they had, and he said there was this certain lady that came in there for purchase something there at their farm market, and He mentioned something to the lady in effect about her husband, something to that effect. And I remember so well, I was an unconverted 18, 19-year-old at that time, but it's amazing how you remember some of those things. Remember so well what he said. He said, as he mentioned to the lady about her husband, he said, she just looked at him and she said, I have no husband. There was an accident. My husband was taken and our oldest son also. And he said, when she had quietly said those words, when she had said those words with a smile, she quietly went on her way. I think she said, God's grace is sufficient for every situation. And he said, when she had said those words, she quietly went on her way. What a testimony when we can do that during the most difficult times in life. But it's the grace of God at work. It's not possible in our humanity. In contrast to that, I remember an account that happened when I was a boy in our neighborhood there, only a couple miles from where we now live. Father and a son had wanted to, the father had wanted to go to Penn State football, and son was working on the railroad, and the son said, nah, I don't feel like going. I'm going to go to work. I need to go to work. Well, that night there was an accident. One of the train cars went over the son, and you know, can imagine what happened. But the point is what I remember in contrast. I never forgot. The neighbors had to gather together and restrain that father. And his screams and his shouting were heard in the neighborhood. I think about that at times when I go past that house there, not that far from where we now live. That's the contrast to God's grace being sufficient, isn't it? God's grace is never ending. Someone has said worrying about not the grace, about the grace of God getting all is like a little fish swimming around in the ocean, worrying that he's going to run out of water. We would say ridiculous. God's grace is just that way. It never ends. It will always be there. Now, I would just like to say that, again, if we want God's grace in our life, then we have to have our life in order. We cannot live recklessly. We cannot take our own way. We cannot do the things of the flesh. We cannot turn our back on God and expect that it will be well. Scripture tells us, he being often rebuked, shall be destroyed suddenly, and that without, he being often reproved, shall be destroyed suddenly, and that without remedy. God's mercy is today, his grace is today for all who want it. But it has limitations. It's limited to our obedience and to our surrendering our lives to him. I would just like to tell us this morning, there is no better way, there's no better place to be than to be in the center of God's will. You know, if you're like me, already have got a little fearful and thinking about, well, what all could that mean? But Jesus gave us such a beautiful example there in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, why take your thought about the morrow? Why do you worry about those things? Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. And God cares. If God cares for the lily, even in a better way than Solomon's kingdom was, do you think God will not care for us? We know he will, but it takes faith. Faith is where we stand. Isaiah 43, we have the promise that God gave to his people. And I think if you read that chapter and you read the context of that, it reaches to the church today. He was referring to his people then and throughout all time. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Beginning in verse 1 there in Isaiah 43. The end of the verse says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. Through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. He is God. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Never, never lose your grip on that. Let's kneel for prayer.